Siren Radio.
Excellent. And now it is the third Wednesday of the month, which effectively means, quite simply, we have to press a button which is marked Inspired on Air. And in particular, we press the button which is marked
Inspired on Air, originated by Sarah Bullimore, named by Julie Ellaby, and with added Amelia Chambers and Alex Levchuk, taking the world of regional arts entertainment into a whole new dimension.
And we welcome to Inspired on Air this month the fabulous Chloe Rose. Chloe, we've been busily recording Sound and Chloe's Vision, which will be produced later on. Welcome to Inspired on Air again.
It's lovely to be back.
It really is. The first thing we're going to be talking about with respect to Inspired on Air is pretty much finding out what Rory McGowan actually made of this.
Hail, hail, the witch is dead. Witch, old witch, the wicked witch. Hail, hail, the wicked witch is dead. Hail, hail, the witch is dead. Witch, old witch, the wicked witch.
Yes, those protesters in London just going on and on and on and on. Rory McGowan, welcome to Inspired on Air. Your first time as we kind of compile this with Royal Radio. It's like 2-3 shows mixed into one glorious homunculus with the joys of Sound and Chloe's Vision, Royal Radio and Inspired on Air. How are you, Rory McGowan?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Alex. Happy to be here on the line.
Currently connected in Bedfordshire, or Bedfordshire, if you happen to be American. And this is the moment which certainly, it's fair to say, Jasmine Foley and many of the cast of the fabulous Wizard of Oz Easter pantomime will be, they'll be fretting, Chloe, I think, to be fair to say, because this is the moment where we actually find out what Rory actually made of the Easter pantomime.
I'm excited to hear.
So, Rory, would you like to provide for us your own view of your first experience at the New Theatre Royal, Lincoln?
Well, it was an absolutely amazing time. I have not seen a pantomime for, I'd say, around a decade, but I was really glad to jump back into the pantomime scene.
Oh, no, you weren't.
With The Wizard of Oz, because it was an outstanding performance from everyone, and I forgot how much audience interaction there was in pantomimes, because I was screaming the whole way through.
I mean, did you really?
Follow the yellow brick road, follow the yellow brick road, follow the yellow brick road.
And where did it take you, Rory?
Do you have sound cues for all of the Wizard of Oz things, Alex?
Oh, we'd like to do a bit of production. I mean, Chloe will actually attest to this. You know, we like to ensure that there's a certain amount of production that works through on that basis.
We do, indeed.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, whether it's a case of following the yellow brick road or whether it's a case of... Of course, it's the Wicked Witch of the East that effectively popped our clogs. I believe it's the Wicked Witch of the West that was okay. How did you find it? I mean, apart from the interactivity.
I'd say it was amazing. It really did make me feel like a kid again. It's the classic tale of the Wizard of Oz. Dorothy gets lost in the Land of Oz, recruits three kind of wacky friends, all kind of missing some part that would make them whole, and they all journey to the Emerald City.
And is it true that you actually have a tin lady this time around, as opposed to a tin man?
Yes, there is a tin woman.
Wow.
And I'd say played by, if I remember correctly...
Yes.
Georgia Hayes Cowley?
Exactly. You see, that's right. Yeah. I just wanted to confirm that. You see, proper credit. You can tell he's a journalism and creative writing student when he can actually get the credits right. Very important. Yep.
Yes, well, she was very good in the role, I think.
And actually, you almost will have crossed over Chloe Rose at last year's Lincolnshire show, because Georgia Hayes Cowley was dressed as Snow White. She was Snow White back in the sort of system last summer.
Yeah, I must have maybe bumped into it at some point.
Now she's the Tin Woman. But, I mean, clearly, do we get to the stage where, effectively, Rory and possibly Emma Street would like to say to the team of the New Theatre Royal Lincoln,
"We thank you very sweetly for doing it so neatly. You've killed us so completely that we thank you very sweetly."
Or is it a case of we've still got the traumatic side of things to come, such as Rory's marks out of 10? Let's not go there yet. Any other particular people? Because I think Chris Johnson, most people were actually expecting him to really sort of nail the role of the Cowardly Lion. Did he indeed do so? Rory, we're waiting for your response. Have we just dropped? Have we lost your line there?
Sorry, we dropped a bit, but now we're back. Chris Johnson, as the Lion, I thought, played it very well. Mm. We went to the opening night, of course, and by the last song, his microphone was actually up a bit, which was quite funny to Emma and I. But no, he performed very well. He didn't let him get it down, and I thought, well, him and everyone else gave a very authentic and fantastic performance.
And what about Sophie Towns as Dorothy? Was she on the nose, so to speak?
Oh, she had the accent down. Her Kansas accent, I suppose that's what you call it, was flawless. And the way she controlled Toto, the dog, because it kept licking, the dog kept licking her face throughout pretty much the whole performance. To the amusement of the crowd. But she dealt with it very well, and she was absolutely fantastic in the role as well.
No less than four, of course, Totos in the entire cast. There are four terriers that are set and ready to actually go to be worked in on that basis. It's looking good so far. I mean, I know, effectively, Chloe, if you weren't heading off very, very shortly to Mallorca, you would be there for the Wizard of Oz.
It
runs until Monday the 22nd of April, so be very quick if you're actually heading there. I think one or two tickets are still just about available from that point of view. We spoke, of course, to the Wicked Witch as well, Michelle, last week. Was she as scary as she was originally going to sort of promote herself as being, that Wicked Witch of the West?
Oh, every time she was on stage, she took it by storm. Her cackling was on point. She made it sure to call everybody in the crowd smelly losers as many times as she possibly could. And she was welcoming all the boos that the kids kept giving her, which I thought was absolutely fantastic.
Sounds good. So Dorothy, as we've already said, Sophie Towns nailing that particular aspect. We haven't spoken about the canine, of course, Toto, apart from licking the lead actress's face. Did he also cut the canine mustard?
Oh, yeah, Toto was adorable. Emma and I kept looking at each other going, oh, that's the cutest dog in the history of the world. I can't believe, you know, that he gets to entertain all of these kids. And whilst it wasn't there for the majority of the production, of course, Toto, for the screen time that the dog did have, was as cute and as cuddly as you could possibly want the dog to be.
Sounds as though it's a win-win situation. Chloe,
oh, 100%.
Any questions you'd like to put to Rory before we ask him for those all-important marks out of 10?
I'm just interested to know sort of what the costumes were like. Were they like really elaborate and colourful? Because I always find, like, with pantomimes, it's more exciting, you know, visually when it's, you know, the costumes are like. I just wondered what it was like.
The costumes themselves were fairly authentic to the vision that many of us have of the traditional Wizard of Oz cast.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything particularly out there, aside from Chris Hayes's Mama Munch, who I thought as the kind of the good magical person, had a very, very over-the-top dress covered in all sorts of food items and hanging off of everything. But I would say that all of the costume designs were very authentic.
Yeah.
And kind of, that did make the performance good.
I feel like it does, doesn't it, when there's something, you know, like really colourful to look at as well.
Was it very much a case of, if you want to celebrate this with the citizens of Lincoln, you should?
Come out, wherever you are, and meet the young lady who came from a star.
That's right, come out, wherever you are, and meet the young lady who fell from a star. Good enunciation from Billy Burke. Was that a case? Would you encourage the citizenry to actually say, come out, wherever you are?
I would. I think it's a fantastic and fun experience for all the family. As somebody who's just who has approached adulthood now and has sadly crossed into it, even though I'm not the audience for these kind of pantomimes anymore, but even so, I greatly enjoyed it and would thoroughly recommend it to anyone.
Well, there we are. That was Rory's first official review for Inspired On Air, part of Siren Radio's monthly art house thing, together with Emma Street, of course, who we may hear about later. Who knows these days with Emma? I mean, she didn't manage to make it to Countryside Links, but what the hey. But we do have to ask Rory one critical question, as you know, Chloe, which is what marks out of 10 would he give Wizard of Oz? And just as we sort of build up this whole sort of sequence, we need to prepare our audience for, you know, all sorts of respondees here. I mean, who knows what could actually happen. Would you like to actually give us those marks out of 10, please, Rory?
Oh, out of 10? I think I would give it a solid 9, verging on that.
He say yay.
Yay!
Rory McGowan, he say yay. He say first class, he say 9 out of 10. Probably didn't quite get 10 out of 10 because of the microphone slipping down, but that's all right. It was the opening night. It'll have sorted out by now. Get yourself to the Wizard of Oz and see it if you want to have any credibility left whatsoever over the Easter period. Hurrah, hurrah, and hurrah again. So, Rory, you're currently in Bedfordshire. Are you looking forward to possibly coming along to another one of these grand events and seeing more of the magical stuff at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln? Will you be ready for another review before too long?
Oh, 100%. If they're as good as The Wizard of Oz, I'm more than happy to see what they've got coming.
We know that quality is maintained throughout, as it is with Inspired On Air, because we're going to be talking about a whole range of composite packages that are going to be held at the University of Nottingham shortly. Of course, Rory, feel free to tune in, even from Bedfordshire. You can actually go to the Siren Online site and actually listen to us live from that point of view. And indeed, he could even contribute. He can send in emails and such like stuff. He might even join us for the midweek drive. But then again, he's probably got other things to do, being in Bedfordshire. It's such a busy place, busy county to actually work through. I don't know what could be happening on that sort of basis, but still, there we are. Rory, thank you for your participation today. We will speak again. Meanwhile, if you are likely to actually be in Kansas, or indeed be caught in a tornado, which is going to take you to Oz, well, perhaps Perry Como will help.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. Just in case you feel you wanna hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. And just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight.
Pocket full of starlight.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. For when your troubles start multiplying, and they just might, it's easy to forget them without trying, with just a pocket full of starlight. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
Quick health and safety warning, though. Actually, don't catch a falling star, because if you put it in your pocket, it could be very dangerous. Burn a hole in your pocket, it could be all pragmatic things there. I know it seemed okay in those happy, innocent days of Perry Como to simply catch a falling star. It isn't, so just be very careful. Very important. Excitement of Compose It is back with us again, the Compose It 2019 music project for young composers at the Jagogli, or Jagogli, it's a pronunciation thing. Let's find out how to pronounce the whole thing by talking to artistic director extraordinaire Joe Freya. How are you, Joe?
I'm fine, thank you very much. So, and as far as I'm aware, it's pronounced
Jagogli. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. It's fine. Just don't get me started on various other pronunciation techniques. You might say, why did we sort this out before the interview started? Because it adds to the fun. The University of Nottingham, of course, is the host of this Compose It music project. There might, astoundingly, Joe, be one or two people who aren't aware of what Compose It is all about. So can we put them out of their misery straight away and explain a bit of background into this fantastic project?
Yes, it's basically what we do is we put together an ensemble of musicians from different musical backgrounds. So that might be jazz, classical, folk. And then we have a little selection of young composers that I select out of people that apply. And they get to work with an unusual combination of instruments and people in a live setting. In today's modern music making, a lot of people have their own home studios, but they don't have access to live people, and certainly not instrumentalists that they don't normally have access to. So the whole point of it is that it creates something different. They might start with an idea, but what they end up with at the end isn't quite what they went in with, if you see what I mean.
Music is something which clearly impacts and affects all of us, despite the fact that I might say, oh, I'm tone deaf, etc. No, I think there are some ways in which you can really appreciate both contemporary and classical music. This does seem to be an ideal way of actually ensuring that, as I say, young musicians can really engage, as you say, in their craft, really being mentored by some really substantial practitioners as well in their more experienced times.
Yes, I mean, we have three patrons of Composite, and they are Judith Weir, who's a classic contemporary composer, CBE and Master of Music to the Queen, I believe, and also Annie Whitehead, who plays with the Penguin Cafe Orchestra, amongst many other things. She's a trombone player and a jazz background, composes stuff herself as well. And then also Chris Woods, who is a BBC award-winning folk songwriter, but also has composed instrumental music in the past. And they are very much like myself in my background, folk music, in that they also transcend the genres they're in. So Judith's background is Scottish folk music. Annie has worked with Alistair Anderson, who's a concertina player, so has worked in the folk world. Chris Woods has done string arrangements for radio plays on Radio 4 and things like that. So they all move outside their boxes. And the whole point of this is that boxing happens whether we like it or not, but is actually a false thing, if you know what I mean. And this is to help our young people think outside the boxes they might already find themselves in musically.
It's often a marketing concern as well that people like to actually set music aside by genre and say, well, that's folk music, that's classical music, that's garage, that's grunge, that's rock, etc. Whereas actually the synergy that you can get from mixing different branches and blends together can produce some quite astonishingly wonderful results.
Absolutely. I mean, both last year and this year, we've had, for instance, a diatonic accordion as part of the ensemble, and another unusual instrument this year, the balafon, which is it's like a, if you like, a xylophone, but it's made of wooden blocks and has gourds underneath it. It's a particularly beautiful sound. And, you know, being able to work with something like that when you wouldn't normally have access to that, and to hear an actual person playing it as opposed to a digital machine that makes everything neat and tidy, really helps develop ideas around how to create music and how to make sounds interesting.
It's always worthwhile giving a nod in the direction of project partners, the University of Derby, Derby Live, and of course the University of Nottingham, which is providing the venue for this grand event. It's on Monday the 29th of April at 7 p.m. Are tickets still available, Jo?
They are available. Probably the simplest thing is to go either via the Firebird Trust website link, because it's a We Got Tickets thing, but there will be some on the door if that's not possible. Mm-hmm.
Make use of the whole thing. I must have had a little smile there because I think I introduced it by saying it's composite. You say composite. I don't know. It's like tomato, tomato.
Exactly.
Don't get me started on Jagnogli or Jagnogli. Anyway, Djanogly. Jagnogli.
Yes. Jagnogli.
Quite simple.
And you mentioned the other partners, but a big heads up to Derby University as well, because they're also recording the project. So we will end up with very good recordings of the diversity. And we didn't mention that. I mean, we've got a singer-songwriter in there doing probably quite an accessible song, but we also have some quite contemporary sounding music, some bits of influence from folk because they know the instruments they're working with. So, you know, that what's come out of it, every piece is absolutely different. It's fabulous.
I think 365 days or so ago, Jo, when we last spoke, as far as Inspired and I was actually concerned, we said we really must get you into the studio. Let's break those boundaries down between Lincolnshire, between Derbyshire, the East Midlands, working together.
Exactly.
Hopefully the offer's still there. We must get over to actually see you guys actually operate from that point of view. The Firebird Trust obviously continues year-round from that point of view. And you're doing some excellent work, and long may you continue. So hopefully we'll speak again very soon, Jo Freya.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks very much indeed.
Wondrous Jo Freya, and it's Djanogly, for goodness sakes. Honestly, sometimes you did it. Where we're going, somebody who always knows where she's going with respect to composite or composite is the fabulous Chelsea Buckthorpe. How are you, Chelsea?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Welcome to Inspired On Air. And indeed, Sarah Bullimore has given you a full imprimatur of quality stuff. So it's a delight to be able to welcome you on board here. Now, you're listening to Freya there, Jo Freya, of course, talking about the wonderful composite package. Share with us your own involvement with respect to the composite event and this great thing on the 29th of April.
Yeah, so I've been involved with the organising side alongside Sarah Bullimore on, you know, kind of doing the boring but very essential bits of making sure the venues and everything's all ready to go. But one of the things that I have been able to do is go along to a lot of the workshops. And as somebody who isn't very kind of involved with music myself generally, it's just been an absolute pleasure to kind of experience and witness all of the musicians and young composers working together to create these, what I think are truly lovely pieces of music. So,
and would you say compose it or composite?
I'd say composite.
Composite. Oh, composite. Oh, Lord. There's another line. Composite. Okay. We'll work through that process. Now, in the studio, we have Chloe Rose. Chloe, who's a magician. A musician and a magician. It's something you can turn your hand to, I'm sure, Chloe, when you're off to Mallorca, turn in the magical side of things as well. It's David Fox, our magician. But anyway, a musician and singer-songwriter. And to take us around to the next bridge, Chelsea, and we find out more about composer, et cetera. Chelsea, I'm going to ask you, would you like Lungs, Golden Dreams, or True Love?
Oh, Golden Dreams.
Golden Dreams. Excellent choice. A song by Chloe Rose. We'll speak to her in a few moments once again. Together with Chelsea Buckthorpe, this is Chloe Rose and Golden Dreams on Siren Radio.
All that you are. that's lost will be found.
So, Chelsea, what did you make of Chloe's Golden Dreams?
Oh, it was lovely, brilliant.
I sent down the telephone line. It's like a Bond theme across the airwaves. Fantastic stuff there. Okay, let's talk more about Composer, etc. Chloe, I think you're quite interested in terms of this, finding out more about this fantastic, awesome organisation.
Yes, definitely would love to know. So, what is like Composite about, really? I'm really intrigued about it more than anything.
Well, so Composite is a project. It goes from this year, February, through to the end of April. And as Joe mentioned before, it's basically about taking young composers from the East Midlands and pairing them with an ensemble of professional musicians and mentors from a wide range of different musical genres and backgrounds, and basically just giving them an opportunity to explore their work in like ways they may not have thought of or been able to before. And yeah, it's really, really lovely. And I think everybody just gets something out of it. You know, I mean, the musicians and the composers.
Yeah, it's nice to get everybody involved in that as well, because I find that as a songwriter myself, when you're like collaborating with people and stuff, you learn a lot more, don't you? And it's more of a creative space rather than just working on your own. So it sounds a great idea. I'd love to be a composite composer, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they do other years and everything like that, then by all means, you should definitely apply, because it's a really, really fantastic opportunity. I think everybody that's involved has just been saying how much they've really enjoyed, especially the musicians have been saying as well how nice it is to be involved in that creative process. So it's lovely to be a part of, really. So.
Sounds very good.
And you've already shared with us, Chelsea, about your own kind of involvement with this whole side of things. Was it something you were anticipating, expecting? Is it better than you expected? Is it something that you just thought, this is what my life is generating, wonderful stuff like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's so lovely to be able to be a part of it, because my kind of usual area is, it is art, but it's more like the kind of book side of things and everything. So to be, you know, kind of involved in music, something which I've always really adored and loved, but not been directly involved in, it is lovely, absolutely lovely to see the process.
You mentioned books there, of course. Sarah Bullimore, for it is she that's responsible for you being on this show this very day, Chelsea. Also in charge, obviously, she is the artistic director of the Newark Book Festival. Are you also connected with that this year, Chelsea? Is it a case of, no, I can only do one thing at a time, for goodness sakes?
No, I am the festival administrator for the Newark Book Festival, so I work with Sarah on that as well, and that is just fantastic. That's a dream come true as well. It's amazing to be able to do things, you know, with arts and books and the things that I'm really, really passionate about, so it's brilliant.
Well, normally most years we get at least one day. This year, hopefully, we're going to be there for at least two of the days, 12th to the 14th of July, that's actually around from that point of view. You can go to newyorkbookfestival.org.uk, but are there any sort of teasing things that you can actually tease us with at this particular stage, Chelsea, other than saying, be there for the 12th or 14th of July, it's in Newark. It's all over Newark. It's doing all sorts of wonderful things.
I mean, there is that, obviously. But also, our Friday night headliner, Joanne Harris, her tickets are already on sale. So if people did want to go to that, that's already available to go and book now. So
there we are. It's well worth saying. We'll work through that. And I know we'll be speaking more about the New York Book Festival, probably in the May edition of Inspired On Air. And we'll have a whole host of other sort of folk working through that point of view as well. A reminder that as far as the 29th of April is concerned, there's really only one place to be. That's the Janogly, Janogly, Recital Hall at the University of Nottingham, where you can actually see Composite, part of the Firebird Trust, of course, and some wonderful recital package there from that perspective as well. It's been fantastic connecting with yourself, Chelsea. I mean, you know, but given that you've got a Liverpool supporter and a Manchester City fan in the studio, it's amazing we speak to somebody called Chelsea. It's all right, only kidding. So was Bill Clinton's daughter. It's all right, probably named after her from that point of view. Still, what the heck? We look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, if that's okay. And I'm sure it'll be an awesome Easter for yourself, too, with respect to Janogly, the Newark Book Festival, and lots of other things to look forward to. Chelsea, take care now.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
Bonnie and Clyde were pretty looking. liking people, but I can tell you people, they were the devil's children. Bonnie and Clyde began their evil doing one lazy afternoon down Savannah way. They robbed a store and hightailed out of that town. Got clean away in a stolen car. Their reputation and made the graduation into the banking business. Reach for the sky, sweet talking Clyde would holler as Bonnie loaded dollars in the jewel back. Now one brave man, he tried to take them alone. They left him lying in a pool of blood and laughed about it. To be public enemy number one, running and hiding from every American lawman's gun. They used to laugh about dying, but deep inside them they knew that pretty soon they'd be lying beneath the ground together, pushing up there just to welcome the sun and the morning dew. Information, a federal deputation laid a deadly ambush. When Bonnie and Clyde came walking in the sunshine, a half a dozen carbines opened up on them. Bonnie and Clyde, they lived a lot together, and finally together, they died.
Georgie Fame, and the Ballad of Bonnie and Clyde. Something I suspect you've never actually covered in one of your sets as yet, Chloe.
Not as yet, but I really enjoyed the song. I felt like I was doing, I don't know why, because it felt sort of cowboyish with the gunshots, but I was doing sort of jazz hands in the background.
No, jazz hands, the jazz age, of course, yes. And we were talking about the height of Prohibition and various other things back in 1930s America. Up next, a feature which will make you just, think, it's a little doggy, and how a little doggy is suffering separation anxiety, courtesy of the RSPCA. We'll find out about that. But we also need to mention for the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre on the 26th of April. And the 27th of April, we have the University of Lincoln Musical Theatre Society presenting Legally Blonde, the musical. A two-act show that will leave you singing and dancing after hours in all sorts of ways. Elle Woods, is a senior at the top of her game, soon to be engaged to the love of her life, Warner Huntington III, and live happily ever after. But when Warner reveals he has other plans, Elle's dream life changes. Following him to Harvard Law, she'll do whatever it takes to win him back with love, laughs, and lessons learnt along the way. That's the University of Lincoln Musical Society presenting Legally Blonde on Friday the 26th of April and Saturday the 27th of April. Up next, as promised, that RSPCA number which will just make you think,
oh.
pets. We know that we appreciate them. Hopefully they appreciate us. They choose their owners. They do all sorts of other bits and pieces. But certainly it still seems that separation anxiety is one of those aspects that can occasionally manifest itself in all sorts of ways. Now, to talk about some of the challenges faced with respect to this, and indeed the notion of a lurcher called Penny, we're delighted to welcome Head of Companionship at the RSPCA. That's Sam Gaines. How are you, Sam?
Good, thank you. Hello.
Excellent. Sam, would you like to just share with us this whole tale of Penny the lurcher and, of course, how she's suffering from separation anxiety?
Yeah, so Penny is a 2-year-old tricoloured lurcher who is currently at our Millbrook Centre in Surrey. And she's been with us, sadly, for nearly 6 months. So she's actually been with us 4 times longer than the average dog. This is partly because she has already been rehomed but is suffering from separation anxiety, which means that she really doesn't like being left on her own and gets very distressed. So we are desperate to find a new home for her, but have been very fortunate to partner with Huawei recently. And they have bought this new P30 Pro phone that allows you to actually take pictures of dogs and cats and recognises them. So we've been using Penny as part of this campaign to improve her profile picture on the hope that someone will then look at her and want to take her.
Oh, I mean, lurchers are just fabulous creatures at the best of times, but this Huawei line, and it's that over half of British folk asked by Huawei about this particular thing, so they'd skip past a picture of an animal online if they felt it wasn't up to scratch. Ben Lewis, that surely wouldn't include yourself. I mean, the way you were relating to the hounds at Countryside Links on Sunday, well, clearly you couldn't just swipe past a doggy, could you?
No, I'm a big fan of dogs. I think it's a case of each dog has their own personality, and people, you know, have an idea of what dog would fit best in their family. I think it's very sad. Any dog that's in a rescue centre, I think it's crucial that that people look to adoption.
And Penny, of course, has been with the RSPCA now for over half a year. So, maybe thinking, oh, Penny, who's going to actually sort of care for you from that point of view? I mean, Sam, how would you actually promote Penny via the medium of radio?
I mean, I have yet to meet Penny, but my understanding is that she's an absolutely lovely dog, has a really, really wonderful personality, and just really needs someone who can commit to looking after her, that will be at home during the day, and that they can then teach her that, you know, she's okay to be left alone. Because the really good news is that separation anxiety is very much a treatable condition or behaviour problem. And actually, the RSPCA has a campaign at the moment around separation anxiety. So anyone that took Penny on would get a lot of support in actually teaching her that it is okay to be left alone. And, you know, that's just what she needs. She needs that opportunity for a loving family home and someone that's prepared to put in that work for her.
Okay. Ben, any questions you'd like to put?
Yeah. Do you recommend certain types of audiences perhaps look to adopt Penny? So perhaps someone who's at home a lot, who's able to give her that companionship, you know, perhaps an OAP or someone who spends a lot of time at home.
Yeah, I mean, she absolutely would need to go to somebody that is at home all of the time, certainly initially, because she gets very, very distressed when she's left by herself. So what we're looking for is someone that is prepared to actually teach her over a period of time that it's actually fine to be left on her own. She just needs to learn that. At the moment, she doesn't understand what happens when people go out and she becomes very distressed. So, but she is very suitable to live with a family. She's absolutely fine with children. It's mainly down to making sure that there's someone that can actually look after and teach her that, you know, it's absolutely fine being left on your own. People do come back. And just that time and commitment will turn Penny into an absolutely fantastic family member.
It's worthwhile noting, of course, that the dog is for life, not just for Christmas. There is a key sort of range of responsibilities that you need to take in mind. From your own perspective, Sam, what are the first things that people look for when they're considering to adopt a pet?
Well, certainly, I mean, Huawei's research has shown that, frighteningly, appearance is actually quite important to people. And I think from the RSPCA's point of view, we understand that, and hence why, you know, we're delighted to have this partnership to improve the profile pictures. But ultimately, what we want people to think about is their own family, their circumstances and their lifestyle, and whether they can actually commit to taking on a dog in the first place. Once they've made that commitment, it's then very much about finding a dog that matches their home, their family, their circumstances, and the RSPCA can help them do that. So if people are keen to adopt a dog, then come down to the RSPCA. We'll take lots of information from you and find a dog that will match your family and hopefully give you a good 10, 12 years of a fantastic dog in your home.
Over the past few years, we've covered a number of canine shows. We've covered sci-fi canines, sci-fidos, etc., costumes for dogs and all sorts of things, etc. What are the key things that people look for when they're considering adopting a dog? I mean, what's the best way in which, you know, a dog can actually have a good online picture?
Well, I mean, from our point of view, it's very much just letting dogs be dogs. I think, you know, dogs do some amazing behaviours. They are absolutely fantastic. You know, they love going out for walks, sniffing, exploring, investigating. They love playing with people and other animals. So actually getting photographs of dogs, you know, just in their natural environment and in, you know, doing things that they really, really enjoy is absolutely essential. And that's very much what then allows, you know, a happy, relaxed dog to shine through.
Ben, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, if you perhaps recommend anyone going to see their local shelter, would you perhaps ask them to take almost a criteria with them of what they'd look for in a rescue dog, or is it a case of whatever suits your own sort of taste?
I mean, I think people will always have a type of dog in mind that they would like, but I think it's always good to be quite open, because often it's very much about understanding the personality of a dog and also what home environment they can provide and allowing us to help make that match. Because sometimes people go in with a very clear idea of a breed or an individual, but actually their lifestyle isn't suitable to that particular dog. So I think it, you know, more than anything, being very open to what we have available and hopefully helping find that good match.
Makes perfect sense to my good soul, Sam. RSPCA.org.uk and presumably Huawei, H-U-A-W-E-Y-E-I, I should say, .com will be the website you'd recommend people should go to find out further information.
If they go to the HuaweiUnadoptables.com website, that has more information about the partnership with the RSPCA, and then you can also find more information about Penny, and you can also link to the RSPCA and find out about other animals that need homes as well.
I'm sure Ben will be doing that and sharing it from that sort of point of view. So it's Huawei Unadoptables. That's almost like the Unadoptables. It could be a musical band there. Sam, it's been tremendous touching base with you, good self today, finding out some fascinating information. Take care and happy rehoming.
Thank you very much.
I did say it was going to be quite emotionally overwhelming, didn't I, Chloe?
You see,
we'll have separation anxiety when you leave us to actually be in Mallorca for 6 months.
Oh.
But
you
know, just have to cope somehow, shape or form. That's the important
Please
thing.
Please help Penny, though. Help Penny, someone. I would take her, honestly. If I wasn't going to Mallorca, I feel like that. It just makes me so sad. You know, that it shouldn't just be about an appearance for a dog. It's, you know, a dog just wants to be loved, you know. Sorry.
Much like most of us, really. Huawei.com, yes. Unadoptables is the website to go to. Of course, you've also got rspca.org.uk, and links will be going from there as well. Well, that's it then, Chloe. We have wrapped up the Inspired On Air for April 2019. Thanks certainly to Joe Freya and Chelsea Buckthorpe from, obviously, the upcoming fantastic events that will be taking part in the East Midlands in Derby at the Composite Festival. Thanks to Rory McGowan for his review earlier in the production. And, of course, we've just heard from Sam Gaines. Where can people find out more about Chloe Rose as well?
Well, on Facebook at Chloe Official, also on the radio show I'm now doing as well, which is very exciting. Thank you, Alex. It's Sound and Chloe's Vision. You can find me on there. And if you just type Chloe with the Y at the end as well.
So what we have to do now is say the final catchphrase for Inspired On Air, which is simply be inspired. A 1, 2, 3.
Be inspired.